Chapter 2. Family Dinner.
Pass the potatoes, Mom?
Robert asked his mother, Donna, at the dinner table. Immediately, Stan, his father, arched his right eyebrow, a telltale sign of disapproval. Robert quickly corrected himself.
Please,
he added.
Sure, sweetie,
she said warmly, passing the homemade bowl to her beloved son. Earlier that year, in an effort to bury the pain of losing her older son, she had taken a pottery course at night. Despite months of work, she eventually concluded that it didn't do much, except add odd-shaped, multicolored dinnerware to the table. The pieces may not have been pretty, but she was committed to using them all the same for the time, effort, and expense she sacrificed. Stan turned toward his wife.
What's with this sweetie stuff?
He asked with derision as Robert shoveled a heaping glob of mashed potatoes onto his plate. Another homemade piece by his mom.
The kid's a teenager now, for Christ's sake.
No, it's okay.
Robert defended his mom as he nervously munched on his mashed potatoes.
I don't mind when we're alone. It's just, you know, in public, like, if you could stop calling me Robbie in front of my friends, it's embarrassing.
Donna was about to answer her son when Stan cut her off.
I'll tell you what's embarrassing,
he began, turning toward his son.
It's you, still hanging out with those losers.
They're not losers, Dad.
Now Robert was faced with defending his friends. For some reason, he always felt like he was on trial when talking to his father.
They're a stupid gang, is what they are,
Stan snapped.
Why can't you be more like Danny?
He nearly regretted the question as soon as it left his mouth. Not necessarily because he didn't mean it, but because it gave his hand away. Robert turned toward the empty chair at the dinner table. Sadly, his mother still made a setting for her elder son, including one of her ugly handmade dinner plates, as if Danny would one day just miraculously stride through the front door with a bemused grin on his face, as if it were all a big misunderstanding from some corny 1960s sitcom.
Sorry to keep you folks worrying. I went down to the general store to get bait for the old fishing pole and took the long way home. Boy, howdy, did I get lost.
Of course, Danny certainly didn't talk that way when he was alive.
That isn't fair,
his mother finally said, breaking the tension in the air and also busting Robert's daydream bubble with an almost audible pop. His mom usually had his back, but Robert also felt like there were some battles he should learn to fight himself. After all, he couldn't rely on his mother for the rest of his life. Summoning up an ounce of courage, Robert faced his stern father and said,
I'm not Danny, Dad. I'm Robert, and I'm sorry if that disappoints you.
With that, he got up from his seat and strode towards the staircase that led to his bedroom.
Hey, boy,
Stan called after his son.
I didn't say you could leave the table.
Robert kept walking, pretending he couldn't hear him.
Let him go,
his mother said just before they heard the loud bang of Robert's bedroom door slamming shut. Disgusted and frustrated, Stan wiped his mouth with a napkin and left the table, leaving Donna by herself to stare at the extra empty chairs. Stan decided to work in his so-called man cave, which had been converted from Danny's old bedroom, replacing everything that Danny owned, his bed, his Knight Rider poster, a bookcase featuring reams of manuals on dirt bike maintenance, a Walkman with a copy of Van Halen's 1984 in the cassette holder, with his own shelves of metallic knickknacks, a large workbench, and various tools strewn about. It was like he was trying to erase his older son's memory. Stan figured if he could do that, maybe he could also erase the pain. On the way to his cave, Stan passed Robert's bedroom door, still defiantly locked shut. Pausing hesitantly just outside it, he posed his curled knuckles near the brown balsa wood, prepared to wrap them against the door. He wasn't sure what to say. A makeshift apology sprung to mind. But thinking better of it, he retreated to his cave to fiddle with his homegrown electronics. After all, he'd never had to admit he was wrong before.